love Nan and Grandpa. I was saying next to my friend Susan, she's like, you don't ever call anybody by their first names. Or I'm like, Nana, Grandpa, Auntie. I call my husband by his last name. I don't even call my parents Mom and Dad anymore. I call them by their grandparental names. I'm like, yes, I love nicknames for everyone. Anyone, hey, welcome to church this morning. My name's Dana, in case I've never met you before. But I just wanted to share before we jump into the message, we had a team this last 10 days who've been in Peru with 10,000 missionaries with missions.me. And there's Maloof, there he is right now, with my son Jack. And this was one stadium they filled out of 10 yesterday. They were hoping, the goal for missions.me, and there's some of our other team, they'll just flash you, is that throughout the week they were all over the nation of Peru and literally tens of thousands. In 2 days, 20,000 people got saved as the numbers came in. And they were hoping to reach a million people with the gospel of Jesus on Saturday as they held these events in stadiums and schools all over the entire nation. I tell you, if you don't think that God is on the move and up to something great and he doesn't have a heart for people, welcome to the party. I've just told you what's happening, and now we're all going to get on board. I'm so excited. So they're actually flying home. They maybe have landed now already in Austin, but they, when you see them next Sunday, watch out, because they have got stories and amazing things what God did in the last 10 days in the nations of Peru. And what I'm really, really excited about is here at Expression Church, we have a heart for missions. And this next year with Missions Me, we're doing missions right here in our own nation. We're going to L.A. And they already met with the mayor of L.A. And the team said, what would you do if we gave you a million hours of volunteer work from people? And the mayor was like, what? So we are going for 1 million hours of volunteer work in L.A., right here in our own nation next summer. So we're going to support that and be a part of that. And you can come and join. You don't have to fly to Peru. You can even, if you don't like airplanes, you can drive. It's like a 21-hour drive. I do it really all the time. So it's really easy. You just pop in. You can spend the night in Phoenix, and then you're there again in 6.5 hours in L.A. It's really, really great. But this morning, we're on our influencer series. And last week, Maloof talked about how influencers rest, right? And so this week, we're moving on to actually, I was so excited that this is literally my favorite part of Hebrews, of that chapter that we have been talking about, chapter 11. And because it talks about parents. The only time in the Bible it talks about faith of parents. So this morning, I entitled our message, Influencers Risk for Others. So let's just pray, and then we're going to dive in. Father, we just thank you for what you have for us this morning. God, thank you for the hundreds of thousands of people who will never be the same in the nation of Peru. God, thank you for changing their lives. Thank you for showing them that you love them. Thank you for bringing them unto yourself, Lord. We just love you, and thank you now for speaking to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Hebrews chapter 11, 23, it says, it was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. Let's read that one more time. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. Moses was this guy, in case you didn't know about him, he's a guy who literally saved the whole Israelite people out of slavery to the Egyptians. And back in Exodus 2, 1 through 10, where this story comes from, there was two Israelite people who got married and they had a baby. But during that time, the whole of Egypt was getting a little bit nervous because all of a sudden there was all of these Israelites, this enormous group of people that was, they were being born, they were having kids, and they were like, if these people decided to do an uprising, they could literally take us out. So they decided we're going to make slaves out of everyone. And on top of that, they decided, you know what we're going to do? We're going to kill all the baby boys that are born. And so here it is, Moses was born to his mom and dad in a time where it was a decree of the Pharaoh to kill every baby boy. The girls could live, but the boys, they all had to die. And they were instructed to throw them, all the midwives, to take the babies and throw them into the river. And praise God, the midwives disobeyed the king's orders. But this is what's so amazing about this verse is Moses' parents, by faith, saw something unusual in their child and hid them from the king. Let's go to Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. I'm just going to read this one more time to refresh our memory. It says, the fundamental fact of existence is that this truth in God, this faith, this firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living, it's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. By faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word. What we see created by what we don't see. So this morning I was thinking about these amazing people who saw something unusual. And I've read this actually lots and lots of times. And actually Ryan and I, we do a parenting class. And this is one of our favorite scriptures. Plug for our classes. In the fall, Ryan and I are doing a parenting class. If you guys want to come, you'll hear about this in a totally different way. But we always have thought about Moses and his parents like in a parenting choice. Like, wow, these parents saw something amazing in their baby? I mean, how much faith does that take? You have a baby and you're like, oh, wow, you're going to be a world changer. You have no idea about the history or the past or the future of this child. And Moses' parents, at risk to their own selves, their own lives, decided we're going to hide the baby. And then on top of that, they decided, well, the baby's 3 months old now, and I don't know what to do. And so they put the baby in a basket and put it on a river down the Nile and thought, that's a great idea. Hopefully someone will find him. Talk about faith. You know, you see something unusual, you're going to go to all those risks for something. But this morning I was like, well, what if there's not really a lot of parents in the room? Or maybe you're past that season. So as I was praying for this message and thinking about it, God really started talking to me about not just risking for the sake of your kids, but if God's our parent, he risks for everyone. So this morning we're talking about how we can risk for others. And I just have three like pretty simple little points in this message. But the first one is influencers can defy a risk because they see the unusual in people. You know, sometimes that's really hard for us to do. We don't always want to take a risk for someone else. Maybe they're annoying. Maybe they, like, get under our skin. Maybe they don't really look like or act like or perform the way that we think they should. Maybe it's our pride that gets in the way. Maybe we can't really see past their failures, right? I'm going to give you a quote this morning. This is how Christ sees us. I got to find my quote. Oh, here it is. Faith helps us take risks for the right reasons, and people are always the right reason. So when you're talking about how Christ sees us, I was looking in Isaiah 49:1, and it says, listen to me, all you in distant lands. Pay attention for those who are far away. The Lord called me before my birth. From within the womb, he called me by name. Jeremiah 1:5 says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Psalm 139:13 through 18 says, Oh, here it is. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I began, as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the darkness of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. And I was thinking about that in light of Moses' parents and how God knit in Moses' mom's tummy this child. And according to Scripture, God knits all of us together with a plan and a purpose. We just read it again and again. He knows our future. When he knit us together, he had a hope and a plan. He thought about how our days were going to be numbered. And I was just thinking, if Moses' parents were willing to take a risk for an unusual child that was an infant, how much more we as a community should we take risks for someone else? If God looks at people as, I know you, I formed you, I fashioned you, you're loved, I was like, what's my problem? Why can't I see people that way sometimes? Why is it that I can't get past my annoyance? Why is it that I can't get past them going underneath my skin? Why do they really bother me sometimes? Why am I unwilling to take a risk on that person, but I'm willing to take a risk on that person? When I was reading those three scriptures, I was like, God, you literally formed and fashioned all of us. You have a plan for all of us. And your plan is always bent towards people. Listen, he took a risk on the cross, an unusual risk, not just because he had to, because unusual risks are always bent towards people. So I was just thinking, what if we as a community dared to believe what the Bible said, dared to believe that you were knit and formed and fashioned and that you have a destiny and everyone that you see around you is the same way as you? What if we dared to believe as a community to stand together and take an unusual risk for that person? Listen, you know more people than I know, right? You have your sphere of influence. What if you woke up tomorrow morning and said, I'm going to dare to believe in the destiny that was knit in that person when they were in the womb of their mother? Holy cow, think of what could happen. Number two, which brings me to my next point. Influencers not only believe in the unusual risk, but they speak the best even when they don't see it. I was thinking about this and I was like, how could Moses' parents speak the best? How do you speak the best about a baby? You know, sometimes when they're little, maybe it's easier because they haven't gone through life yet. And, you know, you just see this beautiful little bundle of joy and you're like, oh my goodness, over Jack. We spoke over him ever since he was little that he was a leader of leaders. Everywhere he goes, he's going to lead, and even leaders need leaders, and Jack, you're going to be the leader of the leaders. Like, he repeats that, he knows it in his brain, and then, you know, something happens at school, and he stands in the background, and I'm like, wait! You're a leader of leaders! What are you doing in the back? Go to the front! You're a leader, you know? And when they're little, you're like, this is who you are! I'm going to speak the best. I'm going to believe the best. And then these crazy things happen. And before we even know it, you know, we're walking out their futures. And you're like, wait, what happened? I was believing the best in you. And then you are like, well, I don't understand. All we hear now is you're stupid. You can't measure up. You don't play sports right. You didn't go to the right college. Your house doesn't look right. Your inside's brown. It's not white. Don't they know brown's out now? You know, and your carpet's red and it's supposed to be cream. And, you know, you're not friends with the right circle. And so, you know, hello, you didn't post on Instagram with the right filter. So your face looks blotchy. What are you doing? You know, all these different things now in life where we're like, we don't believe the best. 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 Oh my goodness, that person's life is so much better than mine. Did you see they went to Hawaii? I wish I could go to Hawaii. And what you didn't see was all the fighting behind the picture just to get the picture, right? You're just looking at this beautiful thing. And I started thinking about the if influencers risk for others, what if we started changing our conversation? What if we as a community started changing our verbal conversation towards people? Some of you who know us, Maloof and I, we're cheerleaders, right? We're gonna like cheer you on. We're gonna tell you you're the best. We're gonna tell you you can make it. We honestly do believe that. It's not just words coming out of our mouths. But people would look at us and we're like, well, you're an extrovert. So of course you have words for people. I am an introvert. I have no words for people. I'm gonna just stir up our little Kool-Aid this morning. When we talk about extroverts and introverts and words and all of that, and I was thinking about that, and I was like, well, okay, yeah, maybe words come a little more easy for me, and maybe, you know, words don't come as easy for other people, but I realized that a lot of times we blame what we would say our shortcomings or misfallings or our personalities to not step out and take a risk. And I realized back in Hebrews, where we just read Hebrews 1, verse 3, it says, God spoke. He spoke the word. He took the unusual risk and he spoke the word into existence. And I was thinking about that and I was like, we actually have a whole entire Bible of words that were spoken life over us. So who are we to not speak life over people? If we're supposed to do and act and be like Jesus and say, yeah, you know, I follow Jesus, I follow his words, but you get home and you're like, I'm not telling my husband he did a good job. Nope, that's not coming out of my mouth. Heaven forbid I should tell someone I love them that I don't even know. Heaven forbid I should just walk up to a stranger who's like managing a lot of kids and instead of saying, wow, you look overwhelmed, you could say, oh God, you're amazing. You are amazing. Great job getting out of the house with your children in the cart in the store. It doesn't even matter if they're throwing a tantrum. You made it. Just think if you did that. So I was thinking about introvert, extrovert, words, not words, and I wanted to say this morning, what if we as a community decided to take a risk and step out and say, I'm going to speak like God spoke into existence, things that I can't even see yet. Moses' parents spoke destiny into their child, even though they couldn't see it yet. You know, I wasn't always like a person of an like extrovert. I actually, in third grade, I was in a play, and you couldn't even hear me on my part because I was so shy. And the teacher, like, afterward was like, do you think you could just talk up just a smidgen more? I didn't really have a lot to say. In fact, my mom never really asked me about, like, how my day was because I'm one of those people, I'm like, it's good. And she's like, good. And I'm like, great. She's like, I'm going to call your friend and find out more details. So she would call my friend and find out everything that happened the day. She's like, what about this? What about that? I was like, oh, yeah, those things too. So then I married my husband, who is like literally, he has more words than any woman on the planet. And he just constantly has words and we're talking. And I'm like, this is exhausting how many words we use all in one time. But what I realized is that I need to bend in that direction. Because I want to risk my life for people. And if that means I have to step outside what my normal comfort zone is, then I want to step outside. If God was willing to risk it for me and give me an entire Bible full of words and full of telling me I'm amazing, telling me I have a hope, I have a future, that my kids have a hope and future, that I'm not going to die, that I'm not going to perish, that my loved ones who don't know Jesus are still going to come to know Jesus, that those things I've been believing for, praying for, standing for, they're going to come to pass. If God can give me a whole Bible of words just for me, can't we begin to open our mouth and take a risk? Not just believing or seeing it, the unusual in something or someone, but speaking it.
Let's be a community that speaks the unusual into existence. Yes. I was thinking about this whole speaking and Moses, and what you kind of sometimes forget about is sometimes, you know, in life you're like, well, I can speak it when I see results, the super kind of results that I'm looking for. But it's not always easy to speak it when you see adverse results, right? I was thinking Moses here. His parents believed, they had a word, it's in the Bible, the whole Hebrew chapter of faith. Moses' parents, by faith, saw the unusual. And then later on in the story, the first thing Moses does after, you know, he sees some people fighting, and then he murders them. And I'm thinking, huh, I wonder if his parents could have seen that, if they would have really been speaking. Would they have seen the unusual in their child? Like, I was like, oh, he probably should have gone to jail for that. He literally murdered someone and then tried to cover it up and then got found out and then ran away. I'm thinking, holy crap. Who does that? It's in the Bible. But his parents still saw the unusual in him and spoke it into existence. And that unusual of preaching about who he was held him through that crazy season, in which then it says next week Malou's preaching on the faith that Moses had to lead an entire nation out of captivity. I mean, it's crazy. We can't control circumstance and situations, but we can control our words and the way that we speak them. The third point, influencers are willing to be part of the journey, but not the hero of the story. You know, there's lots of times in life where you want to be the hero. Like, you're like, hey, I was part of that. I was behind that. I made that happen. Can't you see? Where's the accolades for me? Often in parenting, that's often how I always felt, you know, like the kids would come, you know, Ryan would like come home from work and the kids were like, Dad! I'm like, Mom was here all day with you, people. You know, do you see the mess you created? Why are you so happy to see him? Why aren't you happy to see me? You've been with me all day, you know? I'm like, well, I want to be the hero of your life, but your dad just walked in with the party. What is going on? And I'm thinking, gosh, Lord, like, how do I want to be on this journey, but I also want to be the hero. And I realized that sometimes in life, the greatest heroes are the ones you never hear about, right? And they are the ones who go on the journey with people, but maybe their name wasn't in light somewhere. And I was reading about a guy named Charles Spurgeon, and some of you might know him, some of you might not. In the 1800s, he was in England, in the UK, and he literally probably changed the landscape of Christianity for so many people, and he did amazing things. In fact, they say that he gave probably close to $5 million away of his own money that he would bring in. And when he died, he had $25,000 left to his name. But he was like, they're like, how come you didn't save for yourself? He's like, well, because orphanages needed to be started and homes for women needed to be started. And we had hospitals that we needed to attend to. And these people over here needed to be saved. And that over there needed to happen. And there was this great man, and he literally changed the landscape of Christianity. Often some of what we stand on today is things that he even preached about. But you know where it all started? He had a mom. And her name was Eliza. And this woman doesn't say much about her, but you know what Charles Spurgeon told? Quote from him. It says, I love you as the preacher to my heart of such courage, as my praying, watching mother. He owes the history of his life. He points it back to the keeper of his heart, who was his mother. She spent countless hours on her knees. You don't hear about her in the history books. You don't hear about the accolades that she does. She was willing to not be the hero of the story because she believed in people. And she believed in her child. And she had like so many children, and she spoke life and life. And there's stories about her, and he tells stories where the things that he remembers from his childhood are when his mom would pray for them. When his mom would say, we're going to read about Jesus. We're going to love people today. We're going to talk to our neighbors. The hero of the story was not necessarily the one that you see walking it out. Are we willing to risk being the hero in what the world sees, to be the hero in someone else's life because you believe in their story? We're risking our lives, not just because we have to, but we want to risk our lives for the unusual because we see the purpose as people. We see that our neighbor's worth it. We had a team of 25 who joined literally 10,000 other people in Peru because one life was worth it. They risked it out on the Amazon's rivers. I'm like, thank you, God, for sending them and not sending me. They were risking their lives all over the place because they didn't need to be the hero of the story. But because they said, I see something unusual in you this morning, and I'm willing to step outside of my comfort zone. I'm willing to be an extrovert and use my words to speak into existence things maybe you've never heard before. Maybe you're supposed to talk to that person who sits next to you in the cubicle. You could just pop your head over and say, hey, I just want to let you know you're amazing. Thanks for working so hard. Even if they don't. Even if they don't meet your standard. We fall short all the time. I tell you, I fall short all the time of the standard. I don't even know what that standard is. Because God's grace comes in like a mighty flood and covers all of our shortcomings and says, it's okay. You're going to make it. I gave you this whole book. Can you defy the unusual and risk it for people? Are you willing to join us as a community and not just believe the best, but speak the best into someone's life? And are you willing to be an unsung hero, the one that just sits back, but someone's going to look at you and say, my third grade teacher, she said I was amazing. My third grade teacher said, you just watch it, you're going to have a voice. I was in third grade in a school play, and I was like, I am not going to have a voice. I can hardly say my two lines. And I feel so stupid in a crown in front of people. I would like be a princess. But my third grade teacher looked at me and said, you're gonna have a voice. You just watch. Her name was Mrs. Burlingame. I'll never forget her for the rest of my life because she spoke something into existence that I didn't even see in myself when I was in the third grade. Who would have known that many years later, Maloof and I would plan a church, and he'd say, here, babe, here's a mic, you gotta preach. I'd be like, oh, God, if I would have known that in third grade, I would have run the other way. Never would I have ever wanted to get up in front of you. But because someone took an unusual risk, my life was forever changed. So just think this morning, I want to give us an opportunity to respond. Because I think in all of us, we know people that we should take unusual risks for. And we shouldn't hold back. Not with our words, not with our emotions. Even if they make mistakes and murder someone, we shouldn't hold back. Because like we read earlier in Isaiah and Jeremiah, God has a plan and a purpose. And he knit you together. And he knit them together. And he gave us an entire book that was spoken over us into existence to launch us into our future. Can you be that hero in someone's life this week? Can you stand with us as a community at Expression Church and realize that it's not about us? It's not even about who's standing up here communicating. It's about a community that wants to love and take a risk on people and for people because they're worth it. Could you stand to your feet this morning? We want to say yes to Jesus. We want to say yes to Him calling us. We want to say yes to His purposes and plans. We want to say yes to the risk for people. We want to say yes out of obedience. We want to say yes to the uncomfortable. We want to say yes to the things that we can't see yet. We want to say yes because God says yes to us. If you're here this morning and you've never had an opportunity to even meet this Jesus that I've been talking about, this Christ that took an unusual risk on me, I want to invite you this morning to know Him because He's waiting for you.
Yeah.
He's so proud of you. He thinks you're amazing. He doesn't really care about what you've done because His grace says it's sufficient. And when you come to Him, He takes away all those yucky things and all those gross things in our life. And He says, hey, I'm going to totally forget about all those because you're mine now. And you walk with me now. And now we're going down a new path because you have a hope. You have a future. I have a plan for you. I see you doing this. I see you doing that. I see you over there in that neighborhood. And I see you over there in that nation. And I see you over there in that store. And I see you in that family. And I see you over there reaching those kids. And I see you over there reaching single moms and single dads and the homeless and the community of Austin and the community of Dallas and Houston and the world and the nations. That's how I see you. So this morning, if you've never met that Jesus, could you just signal at me and we're going to all pray this prayer together. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. If you've never met Jesus, thank you. Jesus, this morning we just say thank you to you. We thank you for loving us where we're at. We thank you that you forgive us of our sins. We thank you that we don't have to be perfect. We don't even have to believe or behave to belong because we just belong to you. So, Lord, we thank you for cleansing us this morning. God, we thank you for saying yes to our hearts. Lord, thank you for loving us in spite of who we are. God, we're so grateful for you this morning. Thank you for coming into our hearts, Lord. The next thing I just want to say is, if this morning, if you know there's a risk you need to take, an unusual risk, I just actually, you know, we're big on responding here at Expression Church because sometimes the response, it like nudges you forward. Because sometimes when you're forced to sit in your seat, you're like, oh, I'm responding, but I'm not really sure. I'm inviting all of us to be extroverts this morning. And if there's a peculiar or unusual risk that you want to take this morning, that you know God's tugging on your heart saying, hey, I want you to believe in that person. I want you to speak the better word over that person. I want you to come alongside this person and get in that hole with them and say, you're going to make it. If there is something like that this morning for you, I'm going to invite you to just step out of your seats and join me here at the front. Listen, there are things in my life that I know that God is calling me to do, risks that He's calling me to take, that in my own insecurities, I say no. In my own insecurities, I say, I can't do it. I'm not wise enough. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the knowledge.